world emperor wielding dictatorial powers and making unilateral threats against the guiding principles of the UN Charter. Whereas Trump lashed out at Venezuela, calling the administration of President Nicolas Maduro a socialist dictatorship that destroyed a once wealthy country, Arreaza reminded the U.S. president, a man who only received enough popular votes to claim second place in last year's U.S. presidential campaign, that Venezuela has held 22 elections in the past 18 years. That fact alone, he noted, demonstrates the good faith of Venezuelan democracy. Concerning U.S. imposed sanctions on his nation, Arreaza noted that the measures aim to provoke undemocratic change in the Bolivarian government, emphasizing that the United States had absolutely no moral ground to stand on in respect to police and human rights abuses, detailing abuses against indigenous African American and immigrant populations in the United States.
If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
On the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
He doesn't even have parking tickets, probably.
How did you hear that he was...
We got phone calls. The Las Vegas PD were cooperating with the cops. We have talked to the PD. This is like you called me up and said, your next-door neighbor did this. And I'd go, wow, my next-door neighbor did that. All I've ever seen him do is mow his yard. The fact that my brother did this is, there's nothing. I mean, there's absolutely no...
Did he have
we don't
kids?
Understand.
Did he have,
no.
You know, was there...
Once again, this is all simple public record stuff.
If you could, once again, your message to these people, these families.
I there's not even anything I can say. I mean, how do you... I mean, my brother did this. This is like it was done, you know, like he shot us. I mean, if he'd have killed my kids, I couldn't be more dumbfounded. I mean, it doesn't...
So last
there's time- nothing.
Last
there's,
communication.
There's nothing.
After the hurricane.
I mean, I can show you the text. He said, yeah. You know, how's mom? Did you get power? You know, I mean, that was it. There's absolutely, we have nothing, like I said, we have nothing for you. I mean, I hope someone finds out, figures out. Because we'd like to know.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight for Indigenous rights.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land! Indian land! Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man means you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours?
And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
We are also now hearing from the shooter's girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, who was questioned by investigators for hours. She released a statement on Wednesday saying Stephen Paddock, she knew, was kind, caring, and quiet. Our chief investigative correspondent, Brian Ross, is here with those new details. Good morning, Brian.
Well, good morning, Amy. Law enforcement officials this morning are expressing skepticism about the girlfriend's claim that she knew nothing about what Stephen Paddock was up to.
Agents grilled her for hours inside the FBI headquarters in Los Angeles. But Mary Lou Danley insisted again and again she had no idea about the evil her boyfriend had spent months planning. Her lawyer read her statement after the session ended.
He never said anything to me or took any action that I was aware of, that I understood in any way to be a warning that something horrible like this was going to happen.
Danley had been Stephen Paddock's live-in girlfriend for at least 3 years, sharing this home in Mesquite, Nevada, where police found more than a dozen high-powered weapons and ammunition he had been stockpiling for more than a year. Yet she says she saw nothing.
You got to make the assumption that he had to have some help at some point.
Paddock met Danley when she was a casino hostess. They gambled together, playing video poker in the slots. Investigators want to know if he went along when she traveled to Dubai, where she posted this smiling photo. Danley claims she thought when Paddock sent her to the Philippines 2 weeks before the shooting and wired some $127,000, it was so she could buy a new house.
Honestly, I was worried that first the unexpected trip home and then the money was a way of breaking up with me. I knew Stephen Paddock as a kind, caring, quiet man. I loved him and hoped for a quiet future together with him.
Danley spent most of the day with the FBI and at the end of it sticking to her story that, as she told her family, her conscience was clean.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along, Salaton, and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. You have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under neo-colonial, neo-imperial, neoclassist, neoliberal, neoliteral, neo-fascist, neo-theological, neo-racialist, homophobic, misogynist governments claim states and closed-off societies that seemingly only exist to crush the human heart, and to the persistent individuals and communities suffering and surviving with grace under severe anti-environmental oppression, such as our sister Berta Caceres. I'm your host, The Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the people of the Fourth World from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com, as well as our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And along with my executive co-producer and master studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, We welcome you back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the official broadcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, coming straight at you from Everyman Studios in Multnomah Nation Territories. You know, I really don't know what to say, frankly, about what the fuck is going on. I mean, we were supposed to come in here a couple of days ago, and then it got put off. And then Las Vegas happened. But there's been bullshit that's happened, you know, before and after Las Vegas. I mean, they got this other motherfucker. How many rifles did he have in his vehicle? He was on his way somewhere. This is the day after Las Vegas. Yeah, it's on rawstory.com. We'll get to it at some point, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, what's to say? You know, when we first were going to come in, we were going to talk about Puerto Rico, of course. Well, Puerto Rico, but not so much Puerto Rico in relation to Trump. You know, like, what the fuck was he doing there yesterday? Really? I mean, the only reason he went is because he was shamed into going. I mean, in the European press, you know, on European radio, they were talking about Macron going to the French-connected, the Francophone Caribbean islands, making an appearance, sending the French Navy, sending, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, we don't really know because I'm not in touch with anybody out there. You know, I have a friend who's on one of the islands. I looked at the death list. Her name isn't there. I didn't see anyone else that I know who's associated with her there, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't have anything. Not able to get in touch with her. Like, I got people in the Dominican Republic. I can't get in touch with them. You know? I can't get in touch with them. Not where they are. They're in La Lomas. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else to put this. It is what it is. They live in a shack. They don't have running water and all that. You know, these are, you know, people that I know through other people, but still, you know, I mean, I was concerned for all of the folks that I knew. And yeah, I know people in Puerto Rico. I know folks from San Juan. And again, up in the mountainous areas, these are the relatives of people that I grew up with. You know, some of these older folks, I've met them a couple of times when they come over to the States. They come to Philly to see their relatives. So, you know, for those of us who have a history on the East Coast, when Puerto Rico, when the Dominican Republic, when Haiti, when these, you know, places get hit, we have a consciousness, right? But, you know, I'm out here in Portlandia. Most people don't know where the fuck Puerto Rico is. Most folks here, regardless of their ethnicity or their nationality, or right, Luke, in two cases, their educational level. Right, because most of these people are highly educated and did not know that Puerto Ricans are American citizens. They didn't know where exactly Puerto Rico is. Right? One of them admitted had heard of Puerto Rico once. but they've never left the Pacific Northwest. In that fellow's case, he's gone to school here in Oregon his entire life. He's, you know, his higher education he's done in Oregon. He's never, I think he's gone to Seattle, he's gone to San Francisco, he's gone to Vegas. But he came right back. Yeah, and he was in the military for 6 years, six years. I mean, he's a pleasant person. I got nothing against him, but yes, he is a Republican. And, you know, he's never heard of Puerto Rico. You know, so they were kind of, didn't know what to say to me when discussion came up about him with this fucking tossing the paper towels. And of course, these people, you know, they have to be polite. Despite how rude this fucking, you know, person is, you know, they have to be polite because they represent Puerto Rico. You know, if he's not going to show any decorum, they will. But what did he say, Luke? that the leadership of Puerto Rico should be proud that they only lost 16 people. And at the same time, he was talking about 16 fatalities. It turns out that it were 30 fatalities. And I've heard some numbers that are in the hundreds, and I don't know how true that is. You know, not until we actually get some, reporters out there that can actually bring a story like that. I'm not seeing anything other than the rumors. I heard something from Scott Dworkin, who's, you know, he's really been hammering Trump on Trump Russia and a bunch of other things. I mean, you know, that's basically the fucking corruption that we're seeing in the Trump administration. And he said something, and I reposted it, that an entire ICU of people in Puerto Rico expired. That's what he said, right? You saw it. The entire ward of an ICU unit passed away, died, expired, transitioned. You know, whatever language is more comfortable for you to use. Is it true? I don't know. I mean, he's been pretty legitimate so far, and that's why I went ahead and reposted it. I acknowledge. Excuse me. There was no news link to this. Is this supposed to be coffee? No. Who made this? Excuse me, everybody. Who made it? Anyway, it's just, you know, fucked up all around. But, you know, he had the audacity. I mean, it takes a lot of unmitigated gall. You know, first off, to say that your catastrophe, which wipes out your entire fucking country. And I said it like that because Puerto Rico is his own country, has always been his own country. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was the other thing that I had, you know, this really pointless fucking discussion with people earlier today. You know, it's a fucking colony. It's not a state. And the only people in Puerto Rico who actually want the motherfucking island to be a state are the Puerto Ricano Republican Party. You know, where if you mention FELN to them, they'll beat you up. Right? If you talk about... I have homeboy, black Puerto Ricano, the cat they gave cancer to, and I'm ashamed that I don't remember his name right now, or homegirl who ran into, and I'm just saying homegirl in terms of man of speech, LeBron, who was it, the Senate or the Congress building she took over with three comrades at gunpoint. Didn't they shoot somebody? They shot a politician, right? And read out a statement. And then I remember as a young man, the FELN taking a Puerto Rican flag and putting it across the, up in New York, the Statue of Liberty, across the eyes of the Statue of Liberty. I still don't know how the fuck they did that, you know, but that was pretty brave. But, you know, they're considered terrorists in the United States. Oscar Rivera was just released, but you had other people. You know, like I said, you know, hopefully I can't remember his name, but I got his Campos, right? And I apologize to all of the Spanish-speaking listeners, and especially my Puerto Ricano brothers and sisters, who, you know, I can't remember the name right now. I'm blanking on this, but in any case, they gave him cancer. You know, they kill him. He was assassinated in the prison system. They were experimenting on the prisoners, and they put him on that list. There are photos that you can find of his legs, his feet, swollen, blistered. They were treating them with radiation, some other kind of crapola, and it was... They murdered him. Pedro Campos is going to come to me, of course, after we leave, right? But in any case, look up the history of Puerto Rico. Look up the history of Puerto Rican resistance. Look up motherfucking Roosevelt in Puerto Rico, right? Look up the Spanish-American War. You know, I mean, look up what the fuck happened with the Philippines in terms of that. See, look at the fucking history. I mean, you know, there's always, you know, you find a libertarian and want to, you know, keep everything centered on Hearst and all that kind of shit. But, nah. Look at the fucking history of that. And see, roll with me here. I know we're going on tangents, but roll with me here. Let's look at Las Vegas. So, you got motherfucking Alex Jones, who no one should be surprised by this. You know, he has, you know, spread like Mike Cernovich, Jack, I can't pronounce his name, and don't give a fuck. It sounds like a sex toy, his last name, Lou, and I don't know and don't want to fucking know. I mean, he was born in the United States, but you would think with a fucking name like that, you would have a little more pause before you go fuck with people and be xenophobic and shit. You know, because if somebody was really, really talking a whole lot of America First crap, they would look at names like that and get rid of a motherfucker, like Cernovich. How American is a name like Cernovich? You know, why is it these people, why does anybody take these fuckers seriously? I mean, I was looking him up day before yesterday, because like I said, we were supposed to come in here, and we didn't. And I looked up Mike Cernovich for the hell of it, because apparently, you know, while I really had to deal with him in terms of Pizzagate crap, and it's exactly what it is, you know, Pizzagate is nonsense, you know, nonsense. Now, the Franklin conspiracy, which has been, you know, quote-unquote discredited, there's more credibility to that than what the fuck Pizzagate was talking about. You know, this whole fucking Comet Pizza where there is no basement, but they're running kind of bullshit anyway, even though somebody went in there with a fucking gun and held it up. I mean, there's been operation after operation, apparently. You know, these independent little libertarian know-it-alls who were going into Comet Pizza and finding excuses to, you know, go to the bathroom and then sneak back and then go around the building. And, you know, they went to the Washington, D.C. archives and tried to get the actual floor plans. This is what somebody told me, Luke. Because he says he looks at 4 and 8chan. Yeah. Yeah, this is not coffee. God. Gee. This is not coffee, though. No. Anyway, supposedly this fella told me he goes to 4 and 8chan to monitor what the far right does. You know, I mean, I'll look at Stormfront, I'll look at various things, but it gives you brain pain. So you can't fucking, I can't do it but for so long. So he does. He's retired. Whatever. That's what he does. That's what he told me. Anyway. And he said that he sees these sorts of things and how these conspiracy theories begin and then whip up with absolutely no verification, no proof, no nothing. It is purely desire-based. And then, you know, what was that other thing I was telling you, Luke, that my wife was telling me? You know, Ms. Angry Indian watches mainstream television now that we have one. Right? My mother-in-law sent a television, so now we have one in the house, and she's watching. It's not interesting, but in any case, she said that she was watching some program where a First Nations young woman somewhere in, you know, like the furthermost parts of northern Canada was harassing two celebrities. To the point where, you know, they got an investigator and they eventually tracked her down. And she said that she was just bored and didn't give a fuck about who she was offending. You know, the fact that she was offending them was actually giving her pleasure. And when you look at these people in the alt-right and all this kind of shit, I mean, look at them. Look at them. You know, because I really get tired of this shit where you can't criticize people. You know, really. This post-structuralist thing where, you know, well, you know, everybody gets a cookie and everybody gets a fucking trophy. You know, nobody's bad. everybody's a good singer, everybody's a good dancer, all of this kind of shit. No! No. Some of us are stupid. Okay? Some of us are mentally ill, and some of us are crazy. And what I mean by crazy is that you know what the fuck you're doing. You know, I mean, it's really, you know, mind-crushingly bizarre. Buddy, as fucking Looney Tunes, as Charles Manson. I mean, Charles Manson makes sense on a certain level. But see, but what's fucked up about everything, what's lowbrow about it all, is that you have to go down to his level in order for it to make sense. But that's the only way to understand anything, really. Yeah, I mean, isn't that what all that bullshit is? This is what I was talking about with television with Ms. Angry Indian. You know, she likes CSI and these, she likes to watch all these cop shows. Filing shows and Talk to Me or Lie to Me, whatever the fuck it is. These television shows where you have your sitcoms which basically explain to you what the social, political current, right? You know, what's normal. So, you know, Three's Company is quirky, even though it's a ripoff of British television, but you know, this is normality, right? And you know, in a really fucked up way, we got stuck with All in the Family in real fucking life. And I'm not kidding about that. You know, anybody who's ever been to New York City, because I have relatives there, and you know, you go visit them every now and again because somebody has a cookout who's got a backyard, right? Yeah. And then, you know, when I lived in Newark, you know, all of the fucking television, you got WOR, is that even still around? WOR? Because one of the reasons why I'm even bringing that up, you know, somebody did it again. Yeah, somebody, you know, I bumped into from Jersey and, you know, asked me, you know, what do you do? You know, we talked a little bit, told him about this broadcast. He listened to it. The next couple of times I saw him. They all fucking do it. If they're from New Jersey, they all bring up fucking Joe Franklin. You know, what is it about me and Joe Franklin? Is it really that kind of a show? I mean, really, man. But anyway, when I lived in Newark, you know, most of the signals we picked up were from New York City. So you watch all of the programming. So you kind of get an idea of what, or at least what you think anyway, not living there, what the, what it's like. Like, I suppose a lot of people get an idea of Philly from Rocky. I think so. I do. I really do. I really do. I mean, what is it for you? But you're too young, really, I think. The streets of San Francisco, that's a different, like the movie Bullet. See, to me, I would figure that was San Francisco, you know, that would feel Frisco. Not having lived there, but just from watching the program, right? So you remember the show, but you don't. Not your San Francisco. No, yeah, you lived around, yeah, you were in the Mission around Latinos, and they didn't show that on television. So you couldn't, yeah, you can't relate to that. So that makes sense. But I suppose this is where I'm getting to, because, you know, here it is, you got these cop shows. So of course, people who watch the police shows and the pro-military shows, I mean, they even do it on the cooking things, which is something that she's been watching too, all of these cooking shows. You got that, Ramsey, can't remember his first name. He's got a big coif. I mean, he's all over the fucking place. He's got Hell's Kitchen, a couple of Gordon Ramsay. Thank you, Lou. She's been binge watching some of these shows. They have at least one, you know, obsessively pro-military episode per season. Almost all of these programs. No matter what the fuck it is. You know, so far from what I've seen. You know, I'm subject to rearticulation. I could be wrong. But it's you know, it's the war psychology that Walter Lippmann was talking about, where you're just saturated with it. I mean, Rome did the same goddamn thing. I mean, that was the whole point of the fucking Colosseum. The violence of the Colosseum. You know, the public executions. I mean, the Colosseum was open all fucking day long. It never closed. You know, they had different programs that went on during various times of the day. And, you know, the emperor went there at a certain hours of the day. But, or certain days of the week. But no, man, you know, the whole point was, you know, on the whole, was to keep the Roman population in a mindset that your shit can be ended at any motherfucking time. The class, you know, rules remain the same. Slaves are the slaves. The plebeians are the plebeians. The equestrians are the equestrians. The emperor's the fucking emperor. The army is the army. The Praetorian Guard was mostly from fucking the Germanic, or what they call the Germanic tribes, right? You know, they're all these separate fucking chains. You know, you can fuck around in the shadows, in the back. You know, you can have your prostitutes, you can do whatever the fuck, but on the whole, these are the rules. We're a warlike motherfucking country. I mean, the entire fucking thing about Rome, right? You know, this Vestal Virgin fucks around, or is attacked, however you want to look at it, has these two twins, Romulus and Remus, but because she's supposed to be a Vestal Virgin and she, you know, will be criticized or held accountable for what the fuck happened, she puts them into a, what was it that they say? You don't even know what I'm talking about, right, Luke? This, the mythology on how, or the story anyway, supposedly on how Rome, classic Rome was founded. Even though they ripped off a lot of shit from the Etruscans on the Tuscany. But in any case, they're put into some sort of a raft. They're sent down a river. They're rescued from the water by a female wolf who suckles them. They grow up. Romulus kills Remus. Well, actually, they found Rome with a bunch of disparate tribes. Romulus kills Remus so he can be the only motherfucking ruler. So that makes him technically the first fucking emperor, first king, first Caesar, you know, according to their own mythology, right? So then he goes around and starts, you know, picking up all of the criminal element, you know, people who were ejected from their communities, all of this shit. So he has all these ruffians, invites the Sabine women over to, meet with them. They attack and sexually assault all these women to increase the population. And this is how Rome starts. That, you know, then they go to war with everybody and incorporate and amalgamate, and this is Rome. So, you know, their entire thing was, we take, we pillage, this is what the fuck we're about, the rule of the mob, right? Mob fucking rule. It is what it is. So, you know, we have a Senate only so that we don't, you know, kill each other. Just to put some order to the ruffians, you know, to give the ruffians some pause. Outside of that, we're marauders, we're brigands, we're pirates, we're thugs, but we have nice goddamn uniforms. So, you know, Mussolini comes around, and being an Italian, he pulls on this. To take the socialism he was raised with and turn it on his fucking head. Hitler copycats the motherfucker. Right? Adds his own Germanic Thule, black sun, Aryan, coming from the mountains of Tibet crap to it. So, you know, they... Yeah, and being a German, I guess, if you want to be ethno fucked up here, right? You can say, you know, he took the engineering and the order, right? The bureaucracy that is part of German society, right? Everything that Germans take a certain level of pride in, that they pride themselves in. And, you know, the strictness and what have you. All of the stereotypical bullshit, and put that towards making this motherfucking fascisti idea that he ripped off from the Italian Mussolini. I mean, the more you learn about Mussolini and Hitler, they worked together, but they really didn't like each other. You know, Mussolini thought that Hitler was a pushy German that was going to try to take over the entire motherfucking continent, or subcontinent anyway. I mean, he was right about that. Hitler felt that he was just an Italian buffoon. So you had this unnecessary fucking rivalry between the two of them, but they got together. You know, Mussolini admitted they got together because he couldn't oppose Hitler. It got to the point Hitler got so strong, you know, I'd rather be on the side of the motherfucking winner. He would have stayed neutral. He would have been happy to have been tearing up Ethiopia, right? You know, Abyssinia, go, right? You know, that was their whole shit. You know, go to Abyssinia and rebuild the motherfucking Roman Empire, right? All of these fuckers are tripping. Now, what does this have to do with all of the bullshit that went on in Las Vegas? A little bit. A little bit of all of that has something to do with it. Yeah, he was a white guy. Right? A white guy apparently with a motherfucking ego. I mean, he told his, I was going to say something fucked up here, but I'm not going to. Because I'm, Filipino. And I keep saying to fucking people, I know of two goddamn couples in which these are white men that are married to Philippine women that they do not act, they don't look down on them. They actually love their wives. They had a genuine fucking relationship. There's real fucking love there. There's real respect there. There's actually respect for her background. There's respect for her culture. They raised the kids with a sense of her background as well as his. I only know in all my fucking decades, man, you know, two fucking couples like that. The rest of them, just like this motherfucker. Supposedly, she bought some coffee in one particular incident. And I suppose he got mad because it was $1.25 or whatever the fuck more than he expected or wanted to pay for at the time. And said to her, I paid for your drink just like I paid for you. Now, I'm going to be straight up here because a lot of you know I have a background. A family background, I should say. You know, let me make that clear. A family background, you know, in pimping and prostitution. You know, you got to understand something. In a lot of pockets of the world, man, you know, that shit is considered a way to make a motherfucking living. It's just a job. So, you know, now white people have gotten to the point of calling it sex work. But, you know, pimping, prostitution, whatever the fuck you want to call it, you know, on the Onion, the Blade, checking traps, however the fuck you want to put it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and justify nothing. And everybody knows, and I've been criticized for this shit. And no, I'm not going to talk about Hugh Hefner because, you know, there's just no point. You know, I have a soft spot for prostitutes. They're working girls. They're working people. And even with the men that are involved in that kind of shit. And please don't sit here and tell me that there's not the same shit going on with the males. Yes, it is. The same fucking problems you got going on with male prostitution. Same shit. Now, is there a power dynamic, a power shift? I would probably think so. You know, one is male, one is female, but that doesn't mean that the exploitation is that much different. You know, I mean, that's because there's subtleties in the bullshit does not mean that the general rule is not applied, man. You know, come the fuck on. You know, and as far as like, you know, male prostitution, I mean, the last time I had a conversation, I mean, this was some years ago, was that not this last election, but a couple of elections ago, with the presidential thing, because supposedly, you know, male prostitutes make most of their money. You know, the ones what is it, cross country? You got your cross country pimping, right? Well, you got your cross country male prostitution. And what they tend to do is that they go to the Christian conventions, to the Republican conventions, you know, the RNC and all that kind of shit. They go to those conventions, man, and that's where they make their money. That's where they make their money. You know, when the Southern Baptists, you know, have an event, there they go. They're down there, you know. It is what it is. And like I said, I'm not, you know, making judgments and, you know, what have you. These motherfuckers are making judgments. Like, what was it I was telling you, Lupe, on our way over here? Some Republican, I can't remember his name, and it doesn't matter. He's a pro... No, he's not pro. He's anti-abortion. You know, he's one of these pro-religion, anti-abortion stalwarts, right? Well, apparently, when his, you know, girlfriend, or really, should I say his mistress, and I say that with all due respect, his lover, you know, whatever the fuck it is, this wasn't his wife, right? His wife was at home. His wife was at home. You understand? So, you know, his wife was doing her Christian duty and was at home with the kids, taking care, you know, of the of the homestead. So while he was out with his chick, who eventually got pregnant, and he said, hey, you got to have an abortion. I'm against abortion for regular motherfucking people, but you have got to have an abortion. And that's just all the fuck there is to it. And she went ahead, I guess, and went to the press. I don't know any more than that. But, you know, it's all over the place that he, you know, in the legitimate... I mean, there's a reason why we post mainstream news articles. Because if I said it, you wouldn't believe me. Right? It's some Native African, whatever the fuck, you know, activist, journalist, blind journalist, whatever the fuck. Does anybody even use the term blind anymore? Outside of Republican circles, does anybody even use that anymore? This, you know, and citizen journalism has just been completely fucked up and cannibalized by these bastards. I mean, even the term deep state, they've taken and completely fucked everything up. The National Security Council is the real deep state. That's a real fucking thing. These are the people who brief from the military and the intelligence community every morning. Used to be early in the morning, now somewhere around 10 o'clock because Trump doesn't get up that fucking early or doesn't want to be bothered that goddamn early or doesn't want to read his box that fucking early. But yeah, you know, that's what the deep state refers to, and the, you know, the things that pull on them, like their, say, industrial connections, right, or the academic connections, or the connections to certain reporters or news agencies and what have you. This reflects on what the president is being told and then on what we can expect, you know, for the man to do. And, yeah, I know if you're into Hillary and shit, look, it hasn't happened yet. And if you're going to pick a woman, pick somebody else. You know, I'm ready to have that motherfucking debate. And no, not Jill Stein. She sat there with all the other motherfuckers in Russia with Putin, so I don't want to fucking hear it. She's come up with some bullshit fucking excuses, and for all of her rhetoric, she owns a lot of corporate fucking paper when it comes to certain firms, when it comes to certain industries that she's actually condemned. So, no, I'm in the, yeah, you know, no, look, she's open to criticism too, and we actually, yeah, no, I didn't talk to you about it first, but it's already done, right? I went on Twitter and said, look, you can come on this program anytime to discuss Russia. She never did it. And no, and there's a lot of folks, and I don't want to, you know, throw names out here, but these are people I get along with on Twitter. They'll know who I'm talking about. I know they mean well, but you know, WikiLeaks, you can't trust motherfucking WikiLeaks, man. Dana Rohrabacher was just there. Dana Rohrabacher is also running around with Steven Seagal in Russia, right? In Chechnya. You know, with all of the bullshit going on, you're going to tell me WikiLeaks can't find anything on the fucking on Trump administration? They can't find anything about their fucking Russian connections? But they're supposed to be objective? Are you supposed to be fucking kidding me? What does this have to do with Las Vegas? This is a white guy who was a fucking conservative. Yes, don't believe the bullshit that's being spread out here. His fucking family has confirmed. His fucking co-workers have confirmed. His business partners have confirmed. He's another one of these conservative white guys. He gambled. He makes a lot of motherfucking money. So he owns every fucking thing around him. He's a gun fucking collector. You know, I'm sure if we dig a little fucking deeper, it's going to take a little while, that he's one of these fucking libertarians. Another one with a Philippine wife, right? You know what the fuck I'm talking about. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. These white supremacist motherfuckers, just like Terry Nichols. I wrote about this. If you can find it online, it's been a long time since I've seen it. I mean, I wrote it a long fucking time ago. But, yeah, I just told you what the title was. Something about Suzy Wong, right? No, Suzy Wong Revisited. Suzy Wong Revisited. I wrote that a long fucking time ago. If you can find it out there, let me know. Send me the link. But Suzy Wong Revisited. I wrote that a long time ago, and I talked about this. You know, Terry Nichols went to the Philippines to find himself a wife. Why? Because like a whole bunch of other fucking white supremacist cats, Yeah, because they, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, he wasn't, you know, a white supremacist, this, that, and, you know, he sent my mother a box of cookies. You know, this is what his brother's saying. And I know they keep talking about his father, who they apparently they really had no contact with because he was in the joint when he wasn't escaping from the joint for robbing banks and shit. I mean, obviously he was a violent criminal. But, you know, what that has to do with this fucking guy going and shooting a bunch of people planning this, I have absolutely no motherfucking idea. But, you know, it's a fucking pattern, man. You know, Terry Nichols and this guy, and there's a bunch of others you can find if you really look for them online. They're white males who whine and bitch about white men not having rights, white men not being able to do what they want to do, not being able to own all the guns they want to own, you know, not able to make as much money as they want to, not able to violate the law whenever they choose to do so, right? The sovereign citizen crap, this alt-right crapola. They will talk this white supremacist fucking nonsense and then go to the Philippines. Because Filipinos, I'm saying this as a Filipino, as an Ilocano, because Filipinos have been so motherfucking brainwashed, have been so fucking brainwashed and convinced and colonialized to the point where we will hand over. But I shouldn't say we, because I've never lived in a barrio in the Philippines. I never lived in those conditions. But you know what the fuck I'm talking about, where you're working all fucking day going through garbage for one U.S. motherfucking dollar a day, to drink dirty water, to live in a corrugated motherfucking metal home. I know what the fuck is going on over there. And yeah, because of the U.S. military fucking influence, because of the history of the fucking Philippines, because of the Philippine-American War, we can talk about all of this. Marry a Joe, marry a white guy, marry any motherfucking white guy. You hear them talk about, and part of the piece I did, Suzy Wong Revisited, I mentioned at that time an international, I wrote this one 10, 15 years ago, an international dating service. Well, I mentioned a couple of them, but this the one that I'm thinking about right this moment, it had a survey and had asked these women that they were trying to hook up with foreign men, not just in the Philippines, but in Thailand, you know, throughout Indonesia, throughout Asia. You know, what was it about Asian men that they didn't like? And they came up with all kinds of shit. But, you know, Asian men are ugly, Asian men are rude, Asian men are cruel, Asian men are this, that, and the other. You know, in a very broad, generalized sense. And that white men were better across the board. And then they said that they did facial comparisons and things, you know, just to see what the responses would be for their own business. Not because they were trying to look for racism or the effects of racism, just to, you know, make more profit. And what they found out was, is that any white guy to them was beautiful. Any white man from the United States, Australia, Canada, and England was beautiful, no matter what the motherfucking guy looked like. And that they were, you know, like, you know, comparing them to whatever media figures that they were aware of. So if, for example, because they do this, and it's not, because of the internet, it's not so easy to hide anymore, but Mel Gibson, Sylvester Stallone is famous for this, any of these action stars, especially Dolph Lundgren, whatever, they will do ads in other countries that they, under contract, will not allow to be shown in the United States or in Australia or what have you. Now, I don't know how they can actually enforce that now with media being international, especially with cable and dish televisions and satellite television and what have you. But in any case, they'll say, oh, he looks just like Sylvester Stallone, when this motherfucker doesn't look anything like Sylvester Stallone. Or he looks like Tom Cruise, when this motherfucker don't look nothing like Tom Cruise, right? And you see them treat their, I'm not talking about couples that have a tense relationship. I'm talking about, you see these motherfuckers berate their wives on a constant fucking basis. I've stopped talking to fucking people because of that. You know, I mean, yeah, it was their relationship, but I didn't want to fucking be a party to it, you know. I tell the woman what the fuck I think. I tell him what the fuck I think. and then I leave it alone. Because, you know, I can't, you know, what am I supposed to say? These are adults, they do what the fuck they're going to do. Now, I don't like using the term mail order brides, except in the descriptive. Because that's what the fuck they are. You can go online. I mean, and see, the second thing that I mentioned in that piece was another website. I don't know if it's still up, and I'm not even going to go fucking looking for it, but there's others out there. If you go to Google and put Filipino or Philippine women in, all you're going to get is porn and fucking dating sites. All the fuck you're going to get is porn and dating sites. What the fuck does that tell you? What the fuck does that tell you? Now you're starting to see the same shit with Arab women. You know, and I'm not... Again, erotica has its motherfucking place. Pornography is going to be what the fuck it is, and you got extremes to every goddamn thing. And what's, you know, what's really telling is that the majority of the motherfucking email traffic is spam. Ads, right? So that's capitalism eating itself. But you can't explain that to capitalists, right? Because, you know, now I'm forced to watch Shark Tank now because we got this telly in the fucking house. We got a fucking flat screen now, just like fucking Fahrenheit 451, you know, which is one of the things, or 1984, you know, which is one of the things that's bugging me about this. But, you know, this is what she wants. So I'm looking at Shark Tank, and, you know, they defend capitalism, not like it's a religion. But, you know, there is nothing else. This is the best fucking thing going. You know, and they do it with a smile, and, you know, if you had something better, if anybody else had anything better, they'd be doing it. And, you know, this is why America's great. And you got Mark Cuban up there, and the cat from FUBU, and whoever the fuck else they got up there, you know, because everybody's got a story on how they got rich. So, it is what it is. But all of the bullshit that I just threw out there, you know, and I'm saying bullshit in terms of a man of speech, is that you got a lot of white men who are just angry with the fucking world because they're not getting what the fuck they want when they goddamn want it. They fucking feel like they're losing power, which, again, I'm going back to the piece I wrote. Now, I mentioned Susie Wong about it because, you know, there were so many Asian people at the time, because at that time I was really dealing with the Philippine community, which, of course, is not monolithic. There's, you know, Taiwanese, there's all kinds of folks, right? You know, there's a lot of intermarriage in the Asian community. But there's still a thing, and this is what led me to write the piece, where you have women, and I've seen polls on this, I haven't looked lately, but the last one I saw says 70% of Asian women in the United States refuse, by their own admission, refuse to marry, date, associate, fuck with, have a drink with, you know, another Asian person, regardless of their ethnicity or nationality. They were only looking at white men. Right? You know, I mean, 70%. Now, I've heard that it's higher than that, but it also depends on who you ask. If you ask a lot of Asian males who are willing to talk to you about it, they'll say it's higher. Quite a few Asian men have told me that if they, if they have it in their heart that they want to deal with an Asian woman, folks, whatever, you know, because that's what they're comfortable with, that's what they expect, you know, this is what they want, whatever. That is actually kind of tough. I've known fellas that have gone back to Taiwan for this because they had a hard time finding, as they put it, Americanized Taiwanese women that were willing to deal with them. They say once they've been here, they only want to date white men and they don't look at us. I've heard that. And like I said, you know, I know two fellas, they went back to Taiwan to find women, which one admitted to me that his was an arranged marriage, you know, due to his parents, but that he was actually happy because he said he wasn't meeting anybody over here and he was by himself. I know one Japanese fellow who he ended up working for his company in France and then he met a Japanese woman there, but he said he had a hard time dating here. I haven't heard that amongst the Korean community, but then I don't know that many. But I've asked a few people, and they said that doesn't really seem to be as big of an issue in their community, at least where we are now. I mean, if you're on the East Coast, it might be a different story. But you know, it's, you know, what do you call it? Yeah, I mean, like Lupe here, she calls it the Mindy Kaling what was it? I mean, it's an ism, right? And she's not the only one. I mean, there's so many Desi people that other Desi people point to as being whitewashed to the point of no return. And yeah, it can be really hurtful sometimes too when you really don't see yourself that way. Here it is. Like I said, y'all can hear the tom in my voice, man. I'm not trying to motherfucking hide anything. It is what the fuck it is. But, you know, the folks that want to talk to me about being super black, though, the fucking cats that, you know, they're black in action. I'm talking about in terms of posturing only. Right? They don't really do any motherfucking thing. They don't educate themselves. They don't do anything that doesn't seem to give them some sort of bragging rights. You know what I mean? Well, I have 3 children. Well, I got 7. I'm a more blacker warrior than you are. Assalamu alaikum. You know? And it's not even like a real Islam. It's angry black man's Islam. Right? You know, it has nothing to do with the discipline of the Nation of Islam, none of that kind of shit. Which the Nation of Islam, you know. I mean, we got white men flipping out and shooting people and shit like Charles, what the fuck was his name? The first cat that did that, the first cat that I can remember anyway that's documented for doing that, went up to the fucking tower at the university, was it in Texas? Charles Whitmore, whatever the fuck his name was, I can't remember. The next fucking Marine conservative, that's all the fuck I know, went up there and shot all these goddamn people for no fucking reason. Well, he had a reason apparently. The world was all about him, and since he couldn't fucking actualize that, he went and hurt a bunch of fucking strangers. I mean, what was it? Paddock? Is that his fucking stepping Paddock? You know, they tried to, what was it, Alex Jones and Cernovich and these fuckers, they tried to make him out to be this leftist who was attending anti-Trump rallies and framing. I heard several people, but they talk about one person in particular because it's already fucked this person's life up. Falsely framing them on social media. They had nothing to do with this motherfucker, right? I mean, he's one of theirs. And then, let's think about it. He shot up a country music goddamn festival. Right? He shot up a country music fucking festival. And you know, while we're at it, Luke, I gotta say this. Because, I'm gonna say this. Because, no, really. Think about this for a second, dear listener, brothers and sisters, and all of the other fucking spooks and shit that pipe in here to find out what the fuck is being said, and the Nazis and shit to pipe in here to find out what's being said. How many, ask yourself an honest goddamn question, how many of those people at that country music fucking event, how many people in your heart of motherfucking hearts, ask yourself an honest goddamn question, how many of those people at that fucking country music event, this country music event, were totally okay with what the fuck happened in Charlottesville? I'm not talking about the one or two people that really are not motherfucking bigoted, that don't hate black people, that don't hate Latino people, that don't hate Native Americans, that are not misogynist, that don't believe in war, that don't believe in giving abusive motherfucking crazy white guys like Stephen Paddock all the fucking weapons and shit that they can afford. I'm not talking about them. Because the death count is fucking rising from this shit. It's almost 40 fucking people dead now, right? And almost 530 fucking people, if not 540 fucking people, injured. The majority of these people were white Christians who listen to fucking country music and wave the American flag and are pro-America, pro-country, and pro-Trump. And I'm asking you as a listener to fucking be honest with yourself and ask the person next to you, how many of these fucking people support everything that David Duke and the alt-right were about in Charlottesville? And fucking have been online slamming Black Lives Matter, slamming people who are anti-fascist, slamming progressives who are standing up to the Trump administration? How many of those people want to build a wall? How many of those people were the ones that were CCing and going to the White House website talking about the Antifa movement is a terrorist organization? How many people in Las Vegas who were at that show who were victims of domestic fucking terrorism from a white National Rifle Association advocate, because this man was a conservative gun rights advocate. And stop telling me that he's not a racist because his girlfriend was Filipino. I just finished goddamn telling you. The majority of these motherfucking white supremacists that can't handle a white woman because she gives them too much of a fucking challenge, they go to the fucking Philippines, they go to Thailand, they go to Indonesia. They do to John Wayne, who was an admitted white supremacist, and they go south for the fucking Rio Grande, or they get a Russian, because an American white woman will tell them to fuck off with their macho bullshit. A regular, intelligent white woman would tell them to kiss her motherfucking ass. Get your boots out from under my bed and go the fuck away. Right? So they go where they are brainwashed to believe that every fucking white man looks like Paul Newman and lives in a fucking mansion someplace. Because how many of us have worked with the immigrant community and have fucking hung out socially with immigrants and who are married to white American men who will fucking tell you once they've had their third cocktail, that motherfucker lied to me. He told me he had a big house, and then I came to this. Right? He lied to me. He said he had this. He said he had that. Oh, yeah. And I'm not even getting into the fucking women that go missing. Many of them Filipino. Right? I mean, the one case, I can't remember the details, but, you know, they got him on his third wife. He kept importing foreign women to marry, and they just disappeared, and then he just go get a new one. And on the, when the third one disappeared, I guess she had made some kind of, you know, social contacts, and they started asking what the fuck happened to her. Those other two women, I suppose he kept them isolated, and there was nobody to ask around. Don't tell me that this motherfucker isn't part of that group. Don't tell me he didn't, he doesn't follow Ron and Rand Paul. Right? Fuck all that Randall shit. He's named after Ayn Rand. The same Ayn Rand who came up with objectivism. Who talked a whole lot of bullshit about not, people shouldn't, you know, have no right to demand welfare when she turned around and fucking ended up dying on my motherfucking tax money. On my tax money. Your tax money. While telling other fucking people they didn't have a right to benefits. But it's different because, you know, she's superior. So she had a right to it. You didn't. Now, you know, they were trying to connect him to Antifa, to Stephen Paddock. They tried to connect him to ISIS. ISIS took credit for this, which just goes to show you. I mean, if that doesn't tell you any goddamn thing, I don't know what the fuck will. You have to be totally fucking stupid to not accept the fucking fact that ISIS is claiming attacks that they have absolutely nothing to do with. Something I've been saying for fucking years. These fucking people are going nuts here in Europe on their own fucking dime. Nobody's pushing them to do this shit. Nobody's sending these motherfuckers secret goddamn instructions. That's why they got all this monitoring on social media and they're not catching a fucking person. Not unless it's somebody that they're setting up. Right, go to Truthout or Alternet, one of the two, probably both of them. There's so many cases. Like, what was it, the Miami 5 or Miami 9, or whatever the fuck the number was, that they were plotting to attack the Chicago Tower or some other Chicago landmarks. These were like a handful of Haitians. They were all out of work, angry motherfuckers. One of them converted to Islam when he was locked up for a little while, and, you know, got some little group together and they were talking some shit. And of course, one of them is an informant. one of their numbers, a fucking informant. And of course, he's the one that's egging them on to do violent shit. Now, they had no means to do anything. And as far as I'm concerned, they were just young black guys who are angry with the system, who sit around reading Sun Tzu's The Art of War and, you know, martial arts magazines and crap like that. And they practice in basements for the upcoming race war. I mean, they're the other side of the fucking coin for the white supremacist motherfucker. What do you think these guys are doing? They talk white supremacy, but they marry Philippine women. They or hook up with them. They talk white supremacy, but they study jujitsu, which is not European at all. And then they try to make a crap ass argument about it. Well, it's the Brazilian version. Regardless, it's still fucking Japanese goddamn jujitsu. You know, so, you know, give me a fucking break. Give me a fucking break. You know, what is it? You know, white supremacists are good for studying two things. It used to be Wing Chun, right? Which is Chinese, which is, you know, connected to Buddhism. Look up the history of it, which is, you know, founded by a woman. Again, look up the fucking history of this. And how did that happen? Because you had, what the fuck? I got his name. I got his face. Werbel. The mercenary, the American mercenary, the cat that was OSS, doing World War II and shit. And in Vietnam. I mean, he did a lot of shit in Vietnam. Mitchell Werbel. Well, motherfucking the third, right? No. Was he the third? But Mitchell Werbel. Now, if you're into military history, you know who the fuck I'm talking about. If you're into, conspiracy theories when it comes to the CIA and all that kind of shit, you know who I'm talking about. He got some dubious, pals. You can look at various court cases and shit that he was involved in. Look, he hired, and again, I got this cat's name, Jason Lau. Was that his name? I got his face. I think it's Jason Lau. He hired him. Chinese. Now, here's all these white supremacist motherfuckers, but then they hired this Chinese cat who's willing to fucking train them in Wing Chun. So how can you be a white supremacist, but then you go into Asians to learn all this combat shit? It's not like, even in, what, Savate, that more, you know, really came in a roundabout way from Japan, right? In some ways. I mean, there can be an argument made about that. But you dig what I'm saying. Why don't they go to Europe and find their bullshit? Why do they take from others? But this is what they do. This is what they do. I mean, this fucking swastika does not belong to, the German Nazis. You know, read Helena Blavatsky. You know, read the Karl May, who was using the symbol because he was a German writing about Native Americans and shit, and Karl May was one of the favorite pastimes of Hitler and a bunch of other goddamn Germans. Look at Germany and look at how many people live as Native. There are teepees and shit in people's backyards. People call themselves Sitting Crow Wolf and shit like that on the weekends in Germany. Come on, man. You know, there's a lot of confusion out here. And yeah, I'll go so far as to say that Stephen Paddock was confused. I mean, that's pretty goddamn obvious. This is also pretty motherfucking obvious that Stephen Paddock is a fucking example, to quote Malcolm X, of the chickens coming home to roost. He was not a fucking Muslim extremist. He was not a black guy from Black Lives Matter or from the Nation of Islam or any other fucking, extremist black group. He was not from the American Indian Movement. He was not from the FALN. Right? He was not from Los Macheteros. Right? He wasn't from anything that you can connect to any of this shit. He was not from Antifa, even though they're still trying to push that shit. Because they know it's a lie, but they're trying to push the falseness to confuse every goddamn buddy. He was one of theirs who shot up a bunch of fucking people at a country music concert. So he was one of their people who attacked their people. He was a white Christian conservative gun lover who attacked a country music, an American flag waving country music event, and killed more than 60 fucking people, wounded damn near fucking 600. But all Fox News could talk about the next day was on how black people in the NFL and the nigger lovers, that's what they're calling them. That's what they're calling them, the white men and the owners that are kneeling with their black brothers, kneeling with their Afro-American brothers. Those are the white people who are fucking down with us. Okay? Respect the white people that are down with us and give them the motherfucking support that they need, because they're going to catch hell. Those white people are catching hell. Okay? There are motherfuckers out here talking about, what was it? He was a fireman, right? Who got fired, a fire chief, who said that every one of those cats that were kneeling should be shot. There are people calling for their fucking murders. They're getting death threats. They're threatening their fucking families and shit, right? So they blame, you know, the anti-racist resistance for what a white Christian gun owner did. And, you know, for the most part, we're letting them get away with it. We're letting them get away with it because, in one sense, we really don't know what the fuck to say. A lot of people simply do not know what to do about a situation like this. They don't know what to do, you know, because they're thinking, oh my God, that, you know, here's this thing. I mean, that's what scared them about Antifa. What scares these motherfuckers about Antifa is that here you have white kids that are willing to stand up to white racists. They're willing to take the lumps. They're out here punching motherfuckers, right? Who are out here talking about putting people in ovens and shit. They had to stop that. They had to stop that. Because, you know, that's scary. When you have white people that are not going along with the system, well, you got to put a stop to that. You have to put an end to it. So, you know, we'll accuse them of terrorism. We'll accuse them of cultural Marxism. We'll accuse them of Satanism. We'll accuse them of Pizzagate. We'll accuse them. We'll do anything we can to badjack with them. Because they're fighting us back. And we can't have that, man. We can't fucking have that. So apparently, Trump, who is telling police to not be too nice, Trump, who is, you know, talking about lazy Puerto Ricans and what have you, he has released this demon. He has given Shaitan an open fucking door to do whatever the fuck evil, in terms of evil being personified as this type of bullshit. I mean, I think that the concept of evil is nonsense, frankly. But when, you know, this kind of thing is so fucking antisocial, I mean, I suppose what else can you call it? You know, I mean, without being theological, what else is it? It's certainly not goddamn positive. It's not positive. That's for goddamn sure. You know, but Trump opened the door for this. The GOP is responsible for this. Donald Trump is responsible for this. The NRA is chiefly responsible for this. The Libertarian Party is responsible for this. Ron Paul is responsible for this. They created a culture here where, you know, this is how we're going to deal with everything. I'm going to go to a high point, right? You're going to have somebody who gets angry, goes to a high goddamn point, looks down at a bunch of strangers, and takes them out. This is a white man who flipped out in America, and I'm going to say it again until it drills into your motherfucking noggin, until it trickles down into the bottom of your fucking spinal cord. He is a conservative, white male capitalist who believes in guns, who tells his woman, I'm paying for your drink just like I pay for you. Went out and had a plan and got a hotel room and got a cache of weapons and turned them into automatic fire fucking weapons and shot up a bunch of his own fucking people. And the next day, they blamed black people for what this white guy did. That, you know, obviously because we're standing up to police brutality and white supremacy, that it caused this white man to go and shoot up a bunch of white people. So what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, take them at their motherfucking word. Quote them on this. That because the brothers and sisters, you know, the brothers in the NFL, I was going to say sisters, but, you know, I mean, how many of the cheerleaders took a knee? There were some cheerleaders that took a knee? Oh, okay. All right, then. So the brothers and sisters, this is what Loopy's telling me. So brothers and sisters who took a knee, not to protest the American flag, not to protest the national anthem, but to protest the fact that the national anthem and the American flag does not cover us as the fucking people in the United States. That because, you know, we're tired of a case like Jason Stockley, who murders a man, who says that he's going to murder a man, then murders the man, then has a weapon he's not supposed to goddamn have, a fucking assault weapon, just like the type that Stephen Paddock had here the other day, right? He didn't use it. He used his service issue, but he was going to. He put it back in the vehicle. And then after he put it back into the vehicle, he went into the back of his patrol car and went into a duffel bag, took out a weapon, and then dropped it near his victim and accused him of using that weapon, of pulling that weapon on him that caused him to shoot him 5 times within the vehicle because he never left the vehicle. The only problem is, because you can go to my site, my blog site, aboriginalwriter.wordpress.com, and you will see the transcript of the written, you know, decision of the judge who said that I understand and accept that you said that you were going to kill this motherfucker, but I don't believe that you meant it. And even though the only DNA that was found on the pistol belonged to you, I don't see, and we have you on video seemingly planting this gun, I don't see where there's anything criminal happening here, and I'm just going to let you go. That's why those brothers and sisters were on their knees. And like I said, praises to the white men and white women, because there was a country singer, I can't remember her name, she did take, you know, she did it. Look, I don't want my ethnicity washed away, because if you wash away the fact that I'm of color, then that's washing away the fact that I'm a descendant of slaves. That washes away the fact that I was enslaved by Native Americans here too, right? And that's where my Native American DNA comes from. You know, I don't want my history washed away to be called an American, because when I look at America, why would I want to have anything to do with it? But if we're going to be stuck here in the political sense, if we're going to be Americans in the national sense, I'm like the Dalai Lama, man. You know, we cannot go backwards. Old Tibet, new Tibet would never be old Tibet, he said, if China was to leave tomorrow. And he's right. You know, we're not going to be able to go back. But we can move forward with some kind of fucking consciousness, because that makes more goddamn sense. It's not about wallowing in the past. It's about recognizing the motherfucking past. And the past is the present. When you still have black men that can be set up and framed and shot, and then the judge is like, well, there's nothing I can do, even though all of the fucking evidence here points out that you did exactly what we're saying that you did and what the prosecution has accused you of. You murdered this motherfucker after you said you were going to murder him, and then you falsified the evidence. But hey, I'm still going to let you go because you're a white police officer and this is the system. And seeing black people are serving in the military and helping to fucking keep the country afloat. And it's like, we're not supposed to have an opinion about this. And the idea is that if you're making millions of dollars and entertaining white folks, you know, that's a privilege. And how dare you complain about anything? You're not in a position to complain about anything. You're making $14 million. Shut the fuck up. You have access to white women. Shut the fuck up. So as I said, brothers and sisters, and I'm not trying to, you know, piggyback on Brother Malcolm X, but the chickens have come home to roost again. But in this case, it is un-motherfucking deniable. We can talk about Sandy Hook, we can talk about what happened to Gabby Giffords, we can talk about John Lee Houser, we can talk about the army of God, you know, running around and killing abortion doctors and attacking nurses and what have you. We can talk about all of that, but this is what they are calling the worst motherfucking mass shooting in modern history by a white Christian gun-loving libertarian who apparently decided that he was going to hurt other white people at a country music concert where all kinds of military stuff was, and American flags and pro-Trump banners and Make America Great red hats, all of that, all of it. But somehow they found reason to blame black people who were protesting police brutality as a rationale for why this white man went and did what he did. So he did something totally wrong and is totally crazy, and we need to understand what happened. But these niggas, I mean, goddammit, that's why it happened. Every time you fucking try to stop police brutality or complain about your treatment in this country, you cause one of us to do this. You made him do this. You caused Heber Heyer to die at Charlottesville. You're causing the Klan to rise up. You're causing the racism. How many times, my black and Native American and Spanish-speaking Native American brother and sister listening to this broadcast, how many times have you heard that every time you talked about racism, you made racism worse? You encouraged the racism. The only reason that there's racism is because of people like you always complaining and whining about it. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you been told to stop fucking talking about it? How many times have you been browbeat like that? So let's take them at their motherfucking word. So what they're saying is that they're so fucking weak that when black people talk about their rights under the flag, their rights under the national anthem, their rights as veterans, their rights as the children of goddamn veterans, that they have no motherfucking right to complain. And if you do complain and one of us goes up to a fucking hotel room and knocks out two of the fucking windows and brings up a cache of weapons and decides to start sniping every goddamn buddy in sight, and causing all kinds of stampeding deaths and injuries, that is the fault of black people standing up. What does that say? That says that Malcolm X was right. The chickens have come home to fucking roost in Las Vegas. And there's nobody for white America to blame but white America. This is the Angry Indian. And you are still listening to Aboriginal Radio.
But he was also for blacks and other minorities. And they have done a lot on the problems in Palestine and also the problems of blacks. And so I recommend that you listen to him.
Chicago. This is Charles. Charles, thank you for waiting and for calling. Great to have you here. Hello.
Thanks, Rush. Rush, listen, I voted the Republican, and I really didn't want to see Obama get in office. But you know, Rush, you're one reason to blame for this election, for the Republicans losing. First of all, you kept harping about voting for Hillary. The second big issue was the torture issue. I'm a veteran. We're not supposed to be torturing these people. This is not Nazi Germany, Red China, or North Korea. There's other ways of interrogating people. And you kept harping about it's okay or it's not really torture. And it was just more than waterboarding. Somebody's prisoners were killed under torture. And it was crazy for you to keep going on and on like Levine and Hannity and Hewitt. It's like you're all brainwashed. And my last comment is, no matter what Obama does, you will still criticize him, because I believe you're brainwashed. And I hate to say it, but I think you're a brainwashed Nazi. Anyone who could believe in torture there's got to be something wrong with him.
You know,
and I know Bush wanted to keep us safe and all of that, but we're not supposed to be torturing these people.
Charles, if anybody is admitting that they are brainwashed, it would be you.
No, Rush. I don't think so.
You said at the beginning of your phone call that you didn't want Obama in there, but
that's
you
right.
voted for him because of me.
I didn't vote for him. I voted for McCain. I voted Republican.
Oh, so you're saying I turned people off.
You turned people off with all this vote for Hillary and all this BS.
That was Operation Chaos. That was to keep the chaos. That was the Democrat primary.
It didn't work, and now all we have with you, Hannity, Levine, and you, it's sour grapes. That's all we have. And believe me, I'm more to the right than I am to the left.
Oh, of course you are.
I am.
Of course you are. You wouldn't be calling here with all these sour grapes
I'm so tired of listening to you go on and on with this.
I don't know of anybody who died from torture. I do not ever...
We are not supposed to torture people.
I
you remember World War II, the Nazis, the Nuremberg trials? Remember the Nuremberg trials?
Charles...
Cross Barbie?
Charles,
huh?
Lindsay. Barack Obama.
What's the matter with you? You never even served in the military.
Barack Obama.
I served in the Marine Corps and the Army.
Charles, Barack Obama is president of the United States today because of stupid, ignorant people who think like you do. You and your ignorance are the most expensive commodity this country has. You think you know everything. You don't know diddly squat. You call me a Nazi? You call me somebody who supports torture? And you want credibility on this program? You know, you're just plain embarrassing and ludicrous.
Well,
but it doesn't surprise me that you're the kind of Republican
Our
last candidate attracted.
Oh, shut up, you filthy pig. Look, Rush, if the swastika fits, wear it. Of course you're a Nazi. You crazy bastard. Of course you're a Nazi. Oh, my God. And you don't know of anyone who's died of torture. Human Rights Watch, not Human Rights Watch, but several human rights organizations based in the United States, based in Europe, based at the UN, and even military reports have indicated that as many as 100, you obese bastard, have died while being enhancingly interrogated, as you might put it. You're so out of touch with reality. I'm surprised the guy got through. Like I said, Snurdly must have been out doing a line of cocaine to let that caller on. So he talks the truth. He tells you exactly. He's very specific. Jesus, I wish I had right-wing callers like that. Most of mine can't even put a goddamn sentence together. But is somebody who specifically shows you where you're a sick bastard, and all you can do, Mr. Limbaugh, is try to demean him.
It's not just because we're stupid. It's not just because we're scum. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting.
Don't let the colonial occupation blues get you down. Listen to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The podcast for intelligent aboriginals.
Missy Elliott for the Black AIDS Institute.
HIV happens to us more than it does anybody else, which is why we should all get tested, because if we don't step up, then nobody will.
Get informed. Tested, get treated, and get involved. For more information, call the Black AIDS Institute at 213-353-3610. That's 213-353-3610. Or online at www.blackaids.org.
HIV संक्रमित हरुलाई माया ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जिउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरुको अपेक्षा होइन, अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। एचआईभी अरूलाई मात्र होइन, तपाईलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
Hello, I'm Carol Warden. The Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center asked for your help in spreading awareness of the National Public Awareness Campaign for the availability of Plan B within Indian Health Service. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that is routinely denied to Native women at IHS facilities. Although Plan B has been available without a prescription for adult women since 2006 and as of 2009 available to women age 17 and up, It is still not provided over-the-counter at 90% of IHS pharmacies. Our goal is to ensure that Plan B is available as an over-the-counter contraceptive for all Native women, and to incorporate access to Plan B into standardized sexual assault policies within IHS. We also seek to inform Native women of their right to Plan B so that they are able to make informed decisions regarding their reproductive health. Please help us get the word out. Native women are entitled to the same level of health care as all other women. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Fuck you, Trump. We'll see you on the streets. Am I disappointed? Yes. But am I surprised? Hell no.
It clearly shows what the country is made up of, what the country was founded on.
I always describe the United States as a greedy, hypocritical, racist, white supremacist, evil, warmongering nation.
Donald Trump is just a symptom of a greater system that has basically f***ed up for my people for over 500 years.
To me, the United States was founded in violence, developed in violence, and violence is an American, U.S. American tradition.
The thing that's rattling around in my brain is all of this militarized police and the attacks and everything that's been happening happened under the Obama administration. And I can't help but question what might happen under a Trump administration.
Now we have a really strong enemy to organize against that causes us to say, hey, we gotta get our together.
They promise a better life, purity, a way to erase modernity, and get rid of people who don't think like them. Song and words, they tell their followers to fight for what they believe in. Sound familiar?
Are there similarities between, for example, white supremacist groups here in the United States and ISIS?
In a lot of ways, they're almost identical.
Bob Baer should know. He spent decades as a CIA operative in the Middle East. Now back in America, he points out the grievances of homegrown hate groups virtually match those of terrorist groups in the Middle East.
I think at the bottom of this, there's a feeling of both for the ISIS and the white supremacists, a feeling of injustice, whether it was from the South or a marginalized, white people, and they think that they've been robbed of something. You look at the Sunnis, ISIS, those people think they were robbed with the invasion of Iraq, and they are trying to reimpose justice.
Dylan Roof is a case in point. A website registered in his name features a manifesto that blasts modern America and blames black people and other minorities for its current state. I hate the sight of the American flag. Modern American patriotism is an absolute joke. And goes on to say, I have no choice. I am not in the position to, alone, go into the ghetto and fight. And online is where Roof and so many other angry, dispossessed people now find an audience for their hateful views.
Whether it's ISIS or American domestic extremists are looking for young people, generally in their 20s, socially isolated, who either have a little bit of familiarity with the ideology or are unstable, frustrated, and angry and would be susceptible to it.
The main difference? ISIS is actually more sophisticated in its messaging, using slick videos. White supremacists, not so much. Still, ask any expert on the subject and they'll tell you homegrown terrorism is more dangerous to the average American than ISIS. Take a look at this map created by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks hate groups in America. Those are the numbers of hate groups in each state. And former CIA operative Baer says predicting their members' behavior is far more difficult than that of ISIS recruits.
Frankly, I'm more worried about domestic terrorism because the fact is most of them are fairly benign. Just because you fly the rebel flag doesn't mean you're going to turn violent.
The real danger is when the message connects with someone like Dylan Roof, ready, willing, and able to carry it out. Sarah Snyder, CNN, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. listening to a Creative Commons licensed podcast. Some rights reserved.
Hello, I am Susan Aglukkaq. The North has the highest incidence of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, in the country. We also have a high rate of teenage pregnancies. High-risk behaviors, unprotected sex, lead to the spread of HIV/AIDS. It can be prevented. Learn the ways to protect yourself and others. Knowledge is power.
Coming to you live from North York, Jefferson County, Kansas. Your one true voice in Kansas. This is the Radio Free Kansas.
I'm your host, Mike Cadell, broadcasting from North Jefferson County, Kansas, smack dab between Kansas City, Topeka, Lawrence, Atchison. Easiest way to describe it. Put together quite a good show. Think you're going to like it.
Radio Free Kansas on blogtalkradio.com/HideInCockfire.
Top of the hour on the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn presents
It Sucks to Be Right
with comedian Tara Devlin from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com and comedian Sherry D. Sutton. In Switzerland.
Where we have no real microphone technology.
Right, so we apologize. And
please, best you can.
Support Progressive Voices, and maybe we'll one day be in a studio.
Maybe we'll get two brothers that will give us some money.
Right, really. I mean, this whole elections is so disgusting.
Oh,
you know what you know who I can't stand the most? Ted Cruz is the worst.
Oh, number one. Yeah, he's frightening.
Everything about him is so vile. Even his daughter. Did you see his daughter like, flicking at him? She hates him, too. But you know how children are. They can read people. I love that his roommate from college, who's actually a screenwriter now, who wrote The Hangover, says that his hatred for Ted Cruz isn't political. That if he agreed with Ted Cruz on 100% of his politics, he'd hate him about 1% less.
That's hilarious.
Google Ted Cruz's college roommate. It's really funny. His religiosity, he loves to torture, but he is so into Jesus. But he definitely has the racist, redneck, white trash vote locked up, right?
I need to clarify something for you. Because you're kind of talking about my people, and you've lumped them into two things. And there's a difference between redneck and white trash.
Well, you have to explain, Sherry. Being from the South, you need to tell me these things.
I will. Because, see, rednecks aren't necessarily racist bigots, but white trash people are. We can trace that all the way back to the Bible. You want to get some Christian white trash stories? The Bible's got, I'll give you one of them, all right? It's in Genesis, I believe, in like chapter 19. And this is right after Sodom and Gomorrah was burnt down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Lot escaped with his two daughters because his wife got turned into a pillar of salt. And they escaped Sodom and Gomorrah. They're living in a cave and Lot's asleep. And the oldest daughter says to her younger sister, "Our father is old, and there is no man to lie with us as is custom all over the earth. Let's get our father drunk with wine, and then lie with him to preserve our family line through our father. Because I ain't screwing no foreigner, that's a sin."
Right. That would be disgusting.
That's white trash. That's white trash. See, people think that it was Harriet Beecher Stowe, the author, you know, of Uncle Tom's Cabin, that kind of clarified what white trash was for, because she said not only did slavery, like, produce degraded, miserable slaves, but it also produced poor whites who were even more degraded and miserable, and that both blacks and whites looked down on poor white trash. And I cannot imagine how degraded you'd have to be to feel worse off than a slave.
Really?
That's got to be something. I mean, because I watched the entire miniseries of Roots in the 1970s, and I don't ever remember a moment when Kunta Kinte looked over at Miss Kizzy and was like, "Whoa, Miss Kizzy, life sure is hot. I got beat by Massa today. Now we eating cornbread and chitlins for the seventh time this week. But thank the Lordy, we ain't as bad off as them crackers down the road." See, I'll give it to you really quickly, okay? Because you know Jeff Foxworthy pretty much allowed us to get an understanding of what a redneck is. And that's mm-hmm. the first cousin of white trash, right? But they're not the same. And I know it's confusing for people like you Yankees when yes. you see us all gathered at a NASCAR race or a monster truck pool.
True.
Right? It's hard to tell the difference. We got the same trashy clothes. We got 1980s hairstyles. And we all have movable living quarters. I'm going to shed a little bit of light on you about the group commonly referred to as white trash with some little humor that I call hilarious and terrifying. I just like to call that hilarifying. Now, I'm going to do my own Foxworthy style humor for you just so you and the listeners can get a better understanding.
Okay.
Right? Redneck, if you've ever shot someone. White trash, if you've ever shot someone in your own family. Redneck, usually reads trashy tabloid magazines. White trash? Can't. Redneck wears a Confederate flag because his great-great-grandpappy fought in the Civil War. White trash wears a Confederate flag because we hate black people.
Well, that clears it up.
That's my family. Those are the people. Like, see, my family are mostly rednecks that married into white trash. They think rednecks are uppity and snooty.
Well, that's like the southern version of Modern Family, right?
Their mother-in-law gave her a bag of weed as a wedding gift.
And these are all true stories, too.
Now, see, here's the thing. Now, I did a show, right, called Taking Out the White Trash, but I got a theater critic who reviewed me. His name is Colin McLean, and he gave the review, and I ended up with this white supremacy group called Stormfront,
mm-hmm.
who got very angry about the fact that I had referred to myself as white trash, and they didn't like Colin for agreeing with me. Actually, I didn't like Colin for agreeing with me, but that's totally different. And the thing is, Tara, I guess I'll end it with this, is that these are the yeah. people that are out there getting behind these candidates. This is why we've got to stay progressive. So listen, this has been Sherry D. Sutton and Tara Devlin for It Sucks to Be Right. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and keep listening for more on the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn.
We stick together, we win.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
We are the Ku Klux Klan. We hate niggers. We hate Jews. We hate faggots. And we hate specs. We don't have to have a reason to hate. People need to get off your ass and wake up. This is America.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
Tonight, live from Studio 2 at CNBC, live with Harper's Washington editor and Nation columnist Christopher Hitchens.
Good evening. Welcome to Talk Live. Talk Live is part of CNBC's Talk Weekend, and the talk kicks in at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time with Dick Cavett. Then it's John McLaughlin at 8, and then it's different Talk Live hosts at 9 and 11. Concerning myself, your choice for this evening, I have the honor to be Washington editor for about 10 years. In our neighborhood, New Jersey, New York, it seems to be a beautiful fall, but elsewhere, it seems to be springtime for Hitler. There's a lot of activity in Germany and making a lot of ink as skinheads in Germany repudiate the idea of a foreign presence in their country. And even in our own fair land, the great state of Louisiana looks as if it might pick as governor someone with a record of membership in the National Socialist Party. Race and nation, in other words, are back as a subject. So I'm going to begin with a man who attended cross-burning when he was a lad of 10 and was taken by his father. 13 years later, at the age of 23, he's a leading member of the White Aryan Resistance, which calls itself WAR as an acronym, and is an organization of white separatists and skinhead youths from across the country. I'm talking about John Metzger.
Good evening.
Evening to you.
Most creative people in art, music, entertainment, Columbus, people that go out, find nations, things like this, most of mm-hmm. them were white. Now, I don't wake up every morning and I have a fetish with it and say, well, I'm proud to be white just because of this. It's just a fact.
I was going to ask you, I mean, we haven't known you very long. I mean, I've known you about yes. 2 minutes. But, I mean, where did you get the idea that you were a member of a superior race?
Well, I think I had a lot of my opinions were set directly down from my father, of course, and I listened to him very intently. I read quite a few books that he recommended. And then I had the opportunity to go to public school, high school, to be converted into believing the myth that all races are equal. There's no distinction between people. Everybody should get together and live in this la-la land and and kind of utopia.
See, in your paper, the outfit of
war.
Paper that War puts out, my eye was caught today by a cartoon. It has a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King giving a speech saying, "I have a dream."
Yes.
Then it has a picture of a white man with a smoking rifle pointed through a motel window saying, "Well, I've got a dream too, Buster, and it just came true." Now, you talk, when you're on television, not like that. Is that for public relations purposes?
Well, our paper, which anybody can receive, I'd be happy to send it to them, P.O. Box 1784 in Fallbrook.
Yeah, yeah, I know, I know.
California, 92028. Right. Well, if you're for free speech, you shouldn't mind giving the address.
Why not?
Okay. And they can get the most satirical, racist, aggressive, radical, white separatist, whatever term you want to put on it, comics, thoughts, ideas. And we don't pull punches. And we have our columns. Some are a little more looser than others. Mm. And these cartoons, I didn't write them, but I'm proud.
I get the impression we're getting nearer to the point now, because in the list of political prisoners, white Aryan political prisoners that you have, is the name James L. Ray, who I seem to remember is the man who was convicted of killing Dr. King. I don't know whether you know anything about him that we don't know, or whether you just claim him because he did that. But when we come back, because we're coming to a break, I want to ask you, what is the role of violence in your organization?
Okay.
And whether you consider the U.S. government legitimate, and whether you're shaking your head already, and whether, in other words, you believe in politics.
Okay.
But I think, in fairness to you, that's reserved for a word from our sponsors who's coming.
I have Denerex on this side. As soon as I put Denerex on my hair, I felt like the itch was going away. The tingle feels like it's taking away the dandruff.
Welcome back. I'm Christopher Hitchens, Washington editor for Harper's and a columnist for The Nation magazine. I'm talking to John Metzger, who's a leader in the White Aryan Resistance. And in case you just joined us, I was asking him as we left for that break, what do you think about violence? Do you consider the U.S. government legitimate or illegitimate? Do you consider it a fair target for the use of force?
I'm the product of the 90s, and I feel that whatever the government likes and everybody else likes, then I can apply those rules to mine. I was talking to a reporter the other day, and I stumbled on the opinion that, you know, a lot of people try to corner me on this idea of violence. I don't like violence. I think it's a last resort. I don't have any problem with it if it is a last resort.
Yeah, look, everybody says that. I mean, the fact is your organization is called War.
Yes.
And it talks in its stuff, which I can again read you if you doubt me, about a real physical fight between the races, which the whites must win. And it describes the government as an illegitimate occupation government of Jews. Now, why don't you just fess up to whether this is true or not? We weren't wasting any time.
It's not a government of just Jews. It's a government of white sellouts. And then there are a disproportionate amount of Jews that obviously are in the scene also.
What does the word Zog mean to you?
Zog is Zionist occupied government. Now, I prefer the Jack London idea, the title of one of his books, The Iron Heel.
Perhaps you do, but in your newspaper you refer to the government as Zog, and you just said that's
Zog.
What it stands for.
That's not a term that I use that often.
Just to clarify, because people are going to ring in and we won't waste any time.
Yes.
You think Zog is a correct description of the U.S. government as it now stands?
Like I said, other people use it. I prefer the term.
No, your organization uses
Zog,
it.
Zog, that's fine. Yeah, okay. That's fine, Zog, I mean, Zionist occupied.
I just
government.
Want to get an idea of what it's like to be you, which is an idea I don't have many chances to get. You get up in the morning, you do your stuff, you get the groceries, you open the newspaper, you think, oh, well, the Jews are controlling the government again, and you get on with whatever's next.
No, I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm anti-Jewish in many respects.
That's a distinction I have to call you on. I mean,
okay.
Be
Semites,
interesting about it.
Semites, the kissing cousins of Shem, I mean, that includes a lot of different people besides the Jews. A lot of people consider me anti-Semitic. I'm not really anti-anybody until all of a sudden they have a problem with me. See, and that's one of the problems I have with Jews in particular, if we want to stick to that issue, mm-hmm. is the fact that I'll be doing things, the same thing, maybe something that we took from how Israel's doing some of their racial policies and things like that. And all of a sudden they don't like it and they cry foul, but it's okay if they do it.
Look, I suppose inevitably this leads us to the H word, as some would call it. I mean, in your newspapers and magazines, there's a lot of stuff about the late Führer, Adolf Hitler. People are invited to write in, get his speeches, his stuff, and so on. In plain words, are you pro or anti-Hitler?
You know, in the, if you look at the big picture, Hitler may have been one of the biggest problems that the Aryan race had. Millions and millions of white Europeans and white people died because of the war. So that's another
angle. Would you take it from me? That was a rather odd way of putting it. I mean, and not quite a straight answer.
I mean, no, I
do you miss him?
Well, I never knew the man. I think there were things that he did that were politically correct, and then there were things that he did that I don't agree with.
Right. It is said of your father and yourself, as it's been said of David Duke, who says he doesn't do it anymore, that you celebrate Hitler's birthday every April with ceremonies and nostalgia. Do you want to take the opportunity to affirm
or
deny
this? No, I affirm that. And what's funny is I celebrate things like that just like Jews celebrate massacres of Arabs and things through their biblical times. So that's the only problem I have with people is the fact that people can associate and
have
heroes.
You mean you celebrate what you say you detest? I mean, I'm asking about your mind now. You add
I don't look at the when I celebrate something like that, it's not Hitler, it's the whole German era. It's the fact of Europe coming out of the depression and the passion and the emotion.
But having just said you were anti-Jewish, you say that when you worship Hitler, you're only doing what a Jew would do. Now, are you in any kind of confusion here?
So first of all, I don't worship Hitler. It's just something, there are things that I agree with, things I don't. And that's the bottom line. Actually, Hitler, I don't think of him that much. I think other people bring up Hitler, Jews, I see white supremacist, and other subjective works.
Well, to me, I mean, that might be a fair point, but to be straight with you, I brought it up because I've been reading your papers, and I've never read so much about Hitler, and I admit you're out of the mainstream and deserve protection for that reason. Quite a lot of pro-Hitler stuff, more than you get in the New York Times, certainly, so giving you the chance to say why there's so much stuff friendly to the Führer.
Well, that's just something that we put in our newspaper. People have problems with it. I don't want to stick to the issue of Hitler.
I mean, I've noticed this. Some people say that the Holocaust didn't take place. Others say it did, and a jolly good thing, too. Do you have a line on either of those propositions?
I believe in mind is right. That's something that is used against me, you, people that are politically incorrect.
Sorry to recall you to the question, but
I don't believe in wholesale extermination of people. I believe in distancing myself from them. Now, when you have your house sold from you, from a civil suit that was fraudulent from day one...
To recall you to the question, do you think there was or was not an attempt to exterminate European Jewry?
I don't care. Jews don't care about me, so why should I care about them?
No, you wouldn't have to care about Jews necessarily to answer the question, would you? I mean, either there was or was not an attempt at a final solution of the Jewish question.
I could care less.
And either that would or would not, we could get to it, be a good thing. But I was just wanting to let you clarify.
I set my sights higher. I could care less if it did happen, didn't happen. It's just a historical... It's 50 years ago. Gee whiz, we're almost in the year 2000. I mean, where does this ethnocentrism come
along? Well, we had a president
along?
Who said it hadn't happened in the lifetime of anyone he knew. But I'm sure you wouldn't want to be confused with Ronald Reagan at Bitburg, would you?
No.
Well then, why don't you just come right out with it?
The question is a simple one.
It either happened or it didn't. You can say yes or no. And you either can then say... good or bad thing, but you seem, I can't understand why someone who runs a brave outfit called War would be ducking a question as obvious as that. How can we get on with it?
That's
you?
A subjective word. The problem is with interviewers like you is I'm not answering it the way you want.
No, you can say what you like. You have time.
And I told you, I could care less. I think there's discrepancies that I doubt. I think when back in high school and junior high, when I thought this doesn't make sense, a few things during the Holocaust, and all of a sudden I had problems, people were giving me a hard time, and all this white guilt on me, and I went to the principal and said I can't stand sitting through Kitty Goes Through Auschwitz and very morbid and sick movies. I mean, what's the problem?
Well, look, you seem to have got over white guilt, certainly, and so because I know there's a break coming, and for all those of you who tune in because you just like the advertisements, I think your time has come. For the rest, stay tuned. We'll be back.
what we're about. We're about racial harmony. We're of all races. And those people who shave their heads and have, you know, copied our style aren't skinheads, they're boneheads.
I'm Christopher Hitchens, columnist for The Nation and for Harper's Magazine. I'm talking with John Metzger, who I think wouldn't object to being called a self-proclaimed white separatist, perhaps even supremacist, and among the leaders of the white Aryan resistance. When we broke last, I was giving you the chance to say whether you were pro-Hitler or anti, and whether you were a believer in the Holocaust as an event or as a desirable thing.
As with any leader in the world throughout history, I'm sure there's things that I can agree with and disagree with, obviously. Hitler would be the same exception. As for the Holocaust, A, there's a lot of discrepancies, but I could care less. It's 1990, it's 50 years later. Let's start talking about the travesties and the problems that we have now.
Now, I understood your organization said that David Duke was a hypocrite and a wimp for entering the political process in the way that he's done.
Well, Duke has thoroughly disassociated himself with people like ourselves. And he is a politician. He is not a racist. I want to put everybody at ease. He will be a nice politician, a New World Order politically correct politician.
The reason I ask is because I have just the faint suspicion that you're trying to put a nicer face on your politics, or a more agreeable face, shall I say, than I can read from on the table in front of me.
Oh, you mean concerning the Duke?
You sound really new. I mean, I wanted the association to spur you, if possible. You say that he's a wimp, he covers up his real politics, he's given up on real racism, but for you, Hitler's an academic subject, yet your stuff is full of pro-Hitler incitement. Are you not just trying to get away with something here?
The problem I have is an interview who goes on, drones on and on about 50 years ago. I think there's something...
I wouldn't drone if you'd answer the question. You either believe there was an attempt at a final extermination of your injury...
I've made my
opinions
clear. There's a lot of discrepancies and I can care less.
Okay. So you don't care. In other words, so if you were told it was true, you wouldn't say the person saying so was a liar and a prisoner of Jewish propaganda.
I doubt
you're not even a Holocaust revisionist.
Well, history is not history anymore. It's by special lobbyist groups that come in and try to knock each other to get certain ideas in. So the fact that they spend so much time on the issue is questionable in itself.
Will you allow me to say, abuse my privilege and say I'm a bit disappointed? I was kind of looking forward to this, and now you're disappointing me. You don't seem to have the cowardice of your convictions, or courage is right. Perhaps the word I mean.
Let's set the sights.
Look, we've got your father on the line, who's said to be a real tough guy. Mr. Metzger Sr., can we get you in?
Yeah, sure. Very clever.
How do you think the boy is shaping up?
Well, you're a very clever interrogator, sort of a second-best Bill Buckley, but you're trying.
You certainly know how to hurt a guy, I'll say that for a start. I was wondering how you thought the boy was doing.
Hitler. I mean, is there anything else in the world besides Jews to talk about?
As I said to your firstborn, if that's what he is, anyway, your son, Mr. Metzger, it's a question that need only be asked once, as long as it's answered. Would you accept that as fair?
But what question is this?
If you force me to restate it, you can't complain it keeps coming up, can you? I want to know, since your organization simultaneously says the Holocaust is a myth, but appears to support those who think it was a jolly good thing, which of those two things you think yourself?
Well, what we have said is an exaggerated, the figures are exaggerated, and the facts are showing that to be true as each year passes by. But our concern is with the third world invasion of this nation that's robbing and stripping the Euro-American of everything he's got.
But you say that the Jews,
like
you say the Jews are behind all that.
You want to waste all your time talking about something that happened 50 years ago.
I don't
care what happened to the Jews. You want to put that down at print?
That's fair.
I don't care what
I think I now don't need to take up any of your time. It took a long time. My responsibility, you see, is to the viewers.
I
think they want to know what you think. I think they probably can now. I think they can probably now guess, but I don't think that was the bravest answer you would give. I thought you were a white Aryan resistor who didn't care for anybody. I also thought, I understood you clearly to say in your paper, that the Jews are behind all this immigration and race mixing. Do you think that or don't you?
No, our number one enemy, and if you'll read our paper, perhaps you don't have the intellect to do anything but read cartoons and advertisements.
Come.
But you'll find that our number one enemy are white Aryans like us who have sold out their race for greed and power and teamed up with the transnational corporations to fleece us all.
Right. So you don't.
And Jews are definitely a very strong part of this.
Right. Yes.
As they always have been.
For example, if I can quote you, we hate the fact that we have in this country abortion, which is open genocide against the white race, to murder thousands of white babies at the hands of mostly Jewish doctors. I'm quoting from one of your recent broadcasts. You have time or inclination to say how you know Jewish doctors are.
Yes, because
organizing genocide against white babies.
I know that because the AMA refuses to release the list of doctors performing abortions in this country, but they have leaked out a lot of these lists, and it will prove that Jews are disproportionately involved in abortion.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait till we get the figures. But
why is the AMA
at least you were
so
brave not to wait for that. What does the word "mud people" mean, or the term "mud people"
it's
mean when you
said for the third world invasion? Have you seen any of the third world invasion in New York?
I'm not quite sure what invasion you mean.
Well, you know what I mean. You know exactly what I mean. New York City is sinking into a swamp of third world mediocrity.
But mud, does it have a special meaning to you? This is your chance to clarify.
I'm a farm boy. I know what mud means.
Well, go on then.
Mud, the slang for, I told you, the slang for mud is it's for the third world invasion of the North America.
Doesn't bother you that black racists like Mr. Coakley in Chicago say the same thing about abortion, AIDS, and so on, and Jewish doctors?
It doesn't bother me a bit. In fact,
you feel a solidarity with racists of all colors and creeds?
I have solidarity with all racial separatists, no matter what color they are.
So you're not a supremacist? You don't think the Aryan race is superior?
It doesn't make any difference whether I do or not.
Answer the question, Mr. Metzger, for a change.
I think that the European people are the finest of nature's creation.
Yes.
However, there are people on the other side of the fence of other races who would like to argue the other way.
Okay, yes, I dare say there will be, and who knows, some of them may be on the phone, but now we must take a break. Welcome back. I'm Christopher Hitchens, Washington editor for Harper's and a columnist for The Nation. I'm talking to the old Aryan family firm of Tom and John Metzger. I have the son in the studio and the father on remote. Mr. Metzger Sr., can you hear me still?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I've got one quick question that you won't think is tricky, I hope, and one that may take you a touch longer. First, your son here, perhaps you know, did confirm that you celebrate Adolf Hitler's birthday. You don't.
I have attended two or three Adolf Hitler birthday parties, yes.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure that I wasn't misleading anyone here. On the second point, aren't you in some trouble at the moment? I don't understand the law very well, but isn't there an Ethiopian guy dead somewhere in the state of Washington?
He has a problem.
And you've been accused of inciting and procuring the murder?
I was accused civilly of in some way inciting the death of this man. Bribed witnesses were used, and there was a decision against me. It's being appealed right now in the courts, Supreme Court of Oregon.
Well, all your amendment rights are safe from me. I was only curious reading the stuff and reading the messages you're said to have sent to those who are said to have killed him. Again, simple question for you. Would you bring him back to life if you could? Are you sorry he's dead?
No, I'm not sorry he's dead. I didn't even know the man. If he'd have stayed in Ethiopia, he'd still be alive.
Okay. Well, I wish that your son...
But I did not
advocate. I wish your son was more like you, Mr. Metzger. I have to say, without offense, I hope. I mean, I've had the hardest time getting him to talk as candidly as you. But if you don't mind, we're now going to go to Kelly in New Jersey, who's been waiting a long time. Kelly, you're...
Hi.
Mr.
Metzger.
Yes.
When you and people like David Duke go and talk about minorities and welfare being the cause of the nation's economy struggling, why don't you tell the truth that welfare is only 2% of the annual budget, whereas these wealthy corporations, that take all this money and don't pay tax dollars are really the culprit. And aren't you preying on the fact that most of the people you talk to are very poorly educated white folks who, instead of getting better education, they're trying to blame minorities for taking their jobs instead of realizing the fact that they haven't gone to school, and that you guys dress in suits and you're clean cut and you have a message for them and they want to hear
Kelly,
the message.
Kelly, I don't think, if I'm being unfair, I think we both know what you're asking.
Yeah, I like this attitude that everybody who has a radical opinion or is a white separatist, someone along my line, is ignorant. I don't argue any facts. They're all subjective. I have a mission in life to do, and a lot of our associates do too. If you want to call us smart or dumb, it doesn't matter to me. We deal with quality, not quantity.
Well, as you say, you don't deal in facts, but Scott in New York may have one. He wants to intrude. Scott?
Tom Metzger made a statement that the European race was one of nature's finest creations. I'd like to ask John whether the white Aryan resistance believes in creationism or Darwinism, or what is their religious affiliation, if any?
Well, maybe my father, I can go ahead and answer that. Maybe my father would have a more articulate answer to that.
Well, why don't you have a comment since it's a question?
The white Aryan resistance does not take a position on...
No, Scott, I think we got the question.
I'll go ahead and answer
and
it.
And I think, why don't we just...
White Aryan resistance is a policy on major issues like, for instance, religion, since it's so intense. It's an issue that we just don't deal with. Race is a priority. We are racist. We are radical to the root of the problem. And we do have religious and non-religious people in our association. I am not religious. I am very critical of religion. And I just believe in might is right. I believe that species survive, want to survive, and will do anything to survive. And that's what I'm doing, and that's what you're doing. And for someone to cry foul when I use your same tactics, producing a television show for 8 years and playing to 50 markets in 24 states, when we put out thousands of newspapers, bi-monthly, things like this.
You're keeping your father off
the air. Cries foul.
Mr. Metzger, here. Senior, what's your line on whether we're God's creatures or not?
Well, number one, I'd like to reply to the First Lady, and that is the fact that we did not have the same position as David Duke at all, because we realized that the giant portion of welfare people, women in the United States, happen to be white. And these women have had problems. They've had their husbands leave them and so forth. And we feel very badly about that, and we don't take the same position David Duke did. Does, and I have debated him very heatedly.
Sorry to be tiresome, Mr. Metzger. I really have tried to give you the chance here. The question is, does your organization have a position on creationism and on whether we are God's creatures, one another?
Each person in our association, it's up to that individual. However, any organized religion that challenges the survival of the Aryan race is the enemy. Judeo-Christianity has become an enemy. Judaism, obviously, is an enemy. Any other religion, we believe our race is our religion. However, we do have Christians that are in association with us, and atheists also.
Zena in Maine may have a word to say about this. Zena?
Yeah, I just want to know where these guys get the nerve to call themselves products of the 90s, when in the 90s, one of the main issues in the world right now is peace with everyone.
Peace.
Well, if you look around the world, I don't see much peace. We've had a tremendous number of wars in the last few decades, and they're not ceasing. Separatism is a main thing going on around the world, whether it be religious separatism, racial separatism, or whatever a separatism, cultural separatism, and there's becoming more and more small wars. I don't know. It's not moving together, and integration isn't working.
No, and you're beginning to free associate, too, Mr. Metzger, if you don't mind me. So you're beginning to free associate very slightly as well. I mean, the question was at least specific. I want to bring you to the question of who and what is an Aryan. I think a lot of people wonder what that is. They know it was a Nazi slogan. They know it was a Nazi idea. You and I know that the dictionary definition is Indo-European and includes people from the Indian subcontinent and the great ancient state of Persia. When we get back, I want to know, can you be a pure white Aryan or not, after this. Welcome back. I'm talking with John Metzger, a leader of the White Aryan Resistance, and with his father, Tom. And I have just begun to ask what you mean by the word Aryan.
Is that for me or for my
father? Why not?
White Aryan is a term that I like using for racially conscious white people throughout the world. We are not nationalists, we are internationalists. We believe that we don't believe in borders between our white brothers and sisters in Europe.
Is that right, Mr. Metzger Sr.? I thought Aryan definitely meant Indo-European, so to
well,
be white, white Aryan is contradiction in terms, isn't it?
No, it's not, because
oxymoron.
What you're referring to is what I feel that the Aryan developed from Cro-Magnon man, and he dispersed throughout Asia and the Middle East. And however, in his travels there and attempting to colonize and stay there, his gene pool was absorbed by non-white races. So whether there's a remnant of the Indo so-called European language there does not mean anything.
I'm thinking of, you know, Kipling having the old swastika on his book as the great symbol of the Aryan light religions and so on.
Well,
and the connection to the Indus Valley, to Persia and so on. The proof, in other words, that there is only one race.
Well, these were Aryans that went into the Indus Valley, and they attempted to set up a status there of caste to protect themselves from being absorbed by the non-white natives. Unfortunately, it didn't work. It never does work.
So you think that there is more than one human race, in other words, that there are different kinds of human species?
Yes.
Yes. Fascinating. Now, what's that like? I mean, as a daily life, do you have any friends who aren't Aryans?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
What's that like?
Well, we're straight out with each other. You'll find that people who aren't hypocrites and speak straight, even though they have some very diametric opposed views, can get along pretty well, you know, agree to disagree.
But bearing in mind, as you urge your readers and listeners to do, and I'm quoting now, remember the Jews' goal has always been to destroy the white Aryan race who they hate through race mixing. What are you doing hanging around with these people?
Well, I don't hang around with these people, but I'm speaking generally. I have met Jews that were not in that type of a cabal, and I have met many black people that are not in that kind of a cabal. So it does not apply to every single individual.
Do you still go to cross burnings and all that stuff, or was that a thing of your youth?
Well, if it depends on the situation. If it was depending on the situation, if I was invited, I might go. It's not something that...
I suppose that would have to be my answer, Mr. Metzger, as a journalist. I mean, I might or might not go watch a cross-burning. I'm participating in that kind of thing. Do you, Mr. Metzger Jr.?
Well, I tried to give a speech a couple of months ago, and I guess there were two issues that the Klan refused to let me speak to about 1,500 people in Stone Mountain, Georgia. The reasons why was because I wasn't a Christian, and I was knocking the government, and I didn't believe in the right-wing conservative...
Mm-hmm.
Point of view, so they refuse to let me speak.
So you would rather say you were a national socialist than a fascist, in other words?
I'm a white separatist. I think, you know, we can use terms all night long. Whatever you want to apply to me is fine.
Well, as you illustrated earlier, distinctions are not your absolutely strongest point, but I mean, they do exist and ask to be answered.
I would be a racial internationalist. That would be a proper word. Maybe there's a better term I could use. But a national socialist, I don't believe in just a national socialism. Mm-hmm. I believe white people in general are a community.
Do skinhead movements make this kind of distinction?
Skinheads have little differences. Some aren't even racist. Some are, and even then, some of them are different on different points of view. Some are white pride. Some are white power. It just depends on the leadership and the structure.
Chris from West Virginia, you've been waiting a long time.
I'd like to know... and other groups that are so up on minorities being advanced are given so much more recognition and legitimacy than groups like his own.
Well, I think it's a disservice, actually. I mean, here I am defending non-whites sometimes. I think it's a disservice that we have affirmative action. Of course, I take the opinion that it hurts white people. But it also hurts blacks, giving them the preferential treatment. I think it hurts them, and I think it's bad.
Brian in New York.
How are you?
Good evening.
I have three statements I want you to respond to.
Well, I don't think we're going to have time for three, Brian.
Well, it's very brief, very brief. I'd like a response to three things that make your positions out of step with America today. The first of which is...
I'm glad I'm out of step, by the way.
That's very nice. The first one is, obviously, variances within races are greater than variances between races. Scientists have found that out. I'd like to know what you feel about that. In addition, you're out of step because racist sentiment such as your own has shrunk significantly over the last two decades. And lastly, to the extent that you might be caught up in committing crimes due to the race, religion, ethnicity, or sexual orientation of your victims, I want to remind you, I'm sure as you're painfully familiar, in that currently every state in the United States has bias crimes on the books that they will vigorously enforce, and I am one of those people who do that, and I look forward to, if you do cross that line from free speech to acting out on your emotions on these issues.
Brian, I think we got your point. We have not a very long time.
I've never been arrested in my life. Obviously, I haven't been convicted also, so everybody thinks I'm the bad guy. That's fine. We got to have a bad guy in the world.
You claim to be leading a resistance and to be a warrior, and you haven't even been arrested.
Haven't been arrested. Where to stop.
I have to keep asking you, are you serious?
I'm very serious. I've given my life to what I believe in, just like I think everybody should.
What have you given of your life? I mean,
I've lost jobs because of my opinions. I've lost a lot of things. A San Onofre nuclear plant laid me off.
I have to save it. Sorry, we have to pay the rent. Back after this. I'm Christopher Hitchens, and I'm talking with John Metzger, one of the leaders of the White Aryan Resistance. I thought to ask you, this is our last segment, and I should have come up with it before, patriotism. You've talked about race and nation, creed, rest of it. Do you feel yourself to be, or do you claim to be patriotic?
Patriotic to my people and my ideas. I think you have to watch it because there is a false sense of patriotism in the nationalism and let's go bomb the hell out of Iraq and things like that.
To be sure, I often point it out, but if I was to mention to you the large number of white Americans, to say nothing of black, Jewish, Hispanic, and other Americans,
yes,
who were killed in the fight against Nazism and against a man whose birthday party you and your daddy still go to, you say they were just duped, that this was for nothing, in other words.
What did they gain? You know, let's all go down to the veteran hospitals and see how well we are treating the veterans of war. I mean, I have my opinions.
Well, you
on
said, oh, that was 50 years ago. There are no veterans hospitals for them. I'm asking you,
well, there is Vietnam,
in principle,
in Korea.
I'm asking you in principle about the white, black, brown, and other kinds, indeed Japanese Americans, who fought against the fascist and Nazi alliance, whether you're saying, for the record, that they wasted their lives or had them given away by Jews.
I think it's wrong for people to fight in a war that just strictly deals with one power of money opposing another power of money. I oppose all foreign wars. If there's any fighting, it should be within a country to get its act together, to get the economy up, to dissipate all the problems that are about, to solve all the problems.
Mr. Metzger Sr., you're usually a lot straighter than this. Are you still there?
I think he's being very straight. I would like to be very straight to the last caller who represented himself.
No, I'm sorry. I'm asking the questions. You're my guest. I'm your host.
Are you saying?
No, I'm sorry. You're my guest, and you'll.
I want
you'll
to
be
reply
good enough.
To the last caller.
Well, I'm sorry. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm sorry. I have to put you back off the air for a second, and you can complain.
Well, you
if
can
you will, but you my
complete.
Question. My question stands.
Well,
if you
Jewish,
care to answer it,
and tell them you did a good job.
I had a feeling you might say something like that. You may still, if you care to answer the question I put, the one for this segment, do you maintain that those who were killed in the Second World War fighting against Nazism under the American flag were duped by the Jews and by international finance?
Absolutely. War is a racket.
Why
always
can't you
been,
get your son to talk like this?
War is a racket. Every war. Big business.
The answer to my question, as phrased, is absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. Vipak in Masak. Can that be right? Maybe it's Masak in Vipak. I'm not trying to be funny.
From Cambridge.
Fair enough.
Yes. I think the really interesting questions have been neglected. That is, the questions of practical policy. If you were in power, what do you propose to do with the many non-white people in America? Do you support deportation? And if not, then what should be done to them? And I'm particularly interested in what you would do with members of the Third World Invasion who have done rather well in the States, and also with their
not
children.
To cut you off, I think we already know what that question means, and I think you are ready to answer it.
Yes, I would like to handle things nice and peacefully like everybody would, but obviously in a tense situation when we built this country, white people...
You couldn't guarantee being Mr. Nice Guy.
I couldn't guarantee it. No. They're not nice against us. Like I said, integration was forced upon us by bayonet. Full-grown men with bayonets at the throat of little kids that oppose non-whites.
It takes a lot to make me cry, Mr. Metzger, but actually the question that was asked now leads me to a question I had in mind for myself. Again, to quote from your leaflet, the white race traitor is your number one enemy.
Yes.
You go for the black Americans. You go for the Jews, the Japanese, and so on. But
they're side
issues. When it really comes to it, it's someone like myself, for example, who you look at me and you think, that's the real scum, right?
Oh, well, no. I mean, obviously, you're very low on the totem pole. I'm talking about people that command...
Well, you're very low in the food chain if it comes to that. But, I mean, the question is...
Well, I haven't been eating up yet.
The question is, you know, don't you, that there are people who look extremely wimpy, like myself and so on, who might shape up and would think, if you ever looked like doing any of this, that we would start doing what we haven't done this evening and taking it seriously.
Well, you want to amaze. What amazes me in New York City, for someone to tell me that everybody's equal and all this gobbledygook, to actually say that with a straight face, you've got to be insane.
Well, as you know, or perhaps as you don't know, New York City is partly dedicated to that proposition, as is the Statue of Liberty.
Our problem is the U.S. government and white people in general that have abandoned the idea of racial separatism and being proud of their race and their accomplishments. If you take the pride out of a unit,
right,
then you have no interest in surviving. And I'm trying to get that instinct back in.
If for a second we would take that as your debating position, wouldn't it have an edge that cut the other way? Doesn't hatred of others lead to hatred of yourself? In other words, you end up really detesting white people more than anyone else.
I detest people that just sell out their own people, hypocrites, beat around the bush, things like that. I mean, my concern is for the white race. I can't be concerned. Mr. Farrakhan could deal with the blacks. That's
yes.
Fine. Other racial leaders could deal with their own people.
So it must be very harsh for you when most of the white race thinks you're white trash.
Well, I think that's funny, and that's a misstatement, because that's not the response we're getting. And we'll see. I like it when people underestimate us, because, you know, why would you have us on these TV shows? Why do they try to shut down our television show, Race and Reason, twice?
Don't ask me, Mr. Metzger. You're my guest. So is your father. If you have a last comment, Mr. Metzger.
Well, the social upheaval has begun. The major gang warfare has begun to rip the major cities apart. The non-whites will destroy all the major centers, the big cities, and the game has started. The war has already begun. You'll have to make your choice which side you're going to be on.
Well, I'm sure we can invite the viewers and the audience to decide on the basis of what you said what side they'll be on. That which side will you be on, by the way? I mean, since the whites are your main enemy, who are you going to start shooting first?
I'll be on the side that attacks Washington as fast as possible and drags those filthy congressmen and senators into the street and hang them from the light poles.
I'm tempted to
and I'll join with the blacks on that one.
Well, then perhaps this would make a terribly soggy ending, but perhaps we found a fairy way of saying goodnight, and by goodnight, that's goodnight to you, Mr. Metzger Jr.,
thank you.
To you, Mr. Metzger Sr.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 100.1 en FM.
The I'm going to stand until I can't stand no more, if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Missy Elliott for the Black AIDS Institute.
HIV happens to us more than it does anybody else, which is why we should all get tested, because if we don't step up, then nobody will.
Get informed, get tested, get treated, and get involved. For more information, call the Black AIDS Institute at 213-353-3610. That's 213-353-3610. Or online at www.blackaids.org.
Only 28% of Americans believe in evolution.
62% want creation science taught along with evolution in our schools.
44% want creation science taught exclusively.
You are all about to learn that you didn't come from monkeys and slime. All of you were created in the image and likeness of God.
But didn't we evolve from prior organisms?
Yes, we did. Those organisms were named Adam and Eve.
Then why do we share 99% of our DNA with chimpanzees?
The Bible doesn't teach about chimpanzees.
What about redundant DNA and junk DNA? Does the Bible teach about that?
Well, I can tell you one thing. There's no redundant DNA in hell.
Our children are our future.
Let's try not to turn them into dangerous idiots.
This is FSNL reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African-American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African-American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck. It's What's for Demagogue.
This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on RadioNetwork.com, an internet-based conversation radio experiment. Available most easily at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a Listen Live button. Just jump right on it, and there you are. Or if you're on a mobile device, it's also easy to find us at TuneIn Radio. A nice app for your mobile smartphone, or Tuner Internet Radio, or Dar.fm, or Stitcher Radio, Streama.com. We are rather ubiquitous. I mean, if we got more every night, we'd be paying salaries, right? HeadOnRadioNetwork.com.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
This ends our news session.
Business in residence permits. Due to an agreement between Morocco and Spain, Moroccans who live in four towns close to the border don't need a visit to cross into Ceuta. However, some 65% of the women who work as porters don't come from those areas close to the frontier, Beniassa said, meaning that they have to pay bribes to be registered as locals. Those payments can range from between 300 to 500 euros, a hefty amount for the women. Whilst Moroccan officials have repeatedly claimed that they will step in to rectify the situation, activists say that too often they themselves are involved. In the past, the authorities have actually sanctioned some officials to carry on these practices, Beniassa said.